Welcome to Navigation Church. If you're joining us online, we appreciate you dialing in today, maybe through the app, website, Facebook, whatever it might be. We're thrilled that you're joining us. For now, we're going to get off into a conversation called God with us. Why? Because we celebrate Christmas because Jesus, God, decided to come be with us. Now, I'm going to talk about two people this week and next week. One is a guy named Joseph. How many have ever heard him? And Mary, you may know the Virgin Mary. Does that name sound familiar? Okay. Then we're going to have our Christmas play. All the kids will be in here. Archie the Angel, the lead in that play is amazing already. My son got the part, if anybody cares. I don't know how he got it. It's some people are using the word nepotism. Nepotism? I don't know what it means, but it might be that. But it's a fantastic play. Then Christmas Eve, we'll be back here. And I am so excited because I've been trying to think, how is it that I could bring a Christmas sermon on a Christmas morning, one that no one's ever heard before, and then I realized it. How many have ever opened up to the book of Matthew 1:1, and it starts with a genealogy? And what do? You jump to verse 17, right? You skip it. Who cares? I'm preaching out of the genealogy. Oh, yeah, I guarantee you haven't heard that one before. So December 24th, I'm going to bore you, preach to you the genealogy of Jesus coming to the earth, and then we're going to end the year, December 31st, being here. We're going to end the year right. We're going to end the year with communion. We're going to end the year with baptism. We're going to end the year with worship. We're going to end the year updating you on where we're at with the sale of the building and what 2018 holds for us. And so we're going to just end the year right. But today we're going to start with probably the most under-talked about guy in the Bible that should really be talked about a lot more in my mind. Okay, so because when you talk about the man Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father, he gets like 8 verses. You talk about Mary and Elizabeth, they get 3 chapters out of the book of Luke. But think about this. Is there a single man who spent more time with Jesus than probably Joseph? Right? So you're like, how is it that we don't sit down a lot more and talk about this guy named Joseph? Well, I think it'll unravel for us a little bit as we go along the way. But we know this, that Joseph was Jesus' earthly father, and he was betrothed to a woman named Mary. And all week this week, I've been trying to think, if I was Joseph, and I'm sitting on a hill, and all of a sudden I'm working, doing whatever Joseph did. We know that he was a carpenter. He was out on a job site, and he looks over the hill, and all of a sudden Mary comes cresting over that hill. What song do you think starts playing in his head? This magic moment. Like, there had to be like a rhythm, right? Because this is a girl he's going to marry. Pretty soon he gets to kiss her, all those fun things that married people get to do. And he's excited, and she comes walking up. And how do you think Mary opens up the conversation? Hey, Joseph, you might want to sit down. I got bad news, I got good news, and I got great news. Bad news is, it's going to be a rough couple years for us. Like, bad news. Good news is, I'm pregnant, but it's not another guy's. I'm not really sure how you sell that one, right? We'll circle back to that one, Joseph. Okay, you're still sitting. Good. You're not passed out yet. Here's the great news. The Savior that's been promised. You remember, nobody's been talking since Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. No one's been talking since then. And all of a sudden, an angel just came and told me, I'm pregnant, but it's not with another man. It's with God, and it's Jesus, and we're going to have a baby boy. Yeah. Yay. how do you sell that? How do you come to Joseph and go, this is what I'm going to say to you? Because at this point, Joseph and Mary are basically married. It's something called betrothed. It kind of fell out of fashion a long time ago. Basically, two dads would get together and go, you have a boy, I have a girl, they should be together. And they were kind of promised to each other. And a betrothal, as far as biblical law was concerned, it was basically marriage. So that if someone would actually have an affair on someone else, if there was cheating involved, it would actually be grounds for divorce. And so right here you have come up, and actually, according to Deuteronomy 22:13-21, because she was pregnant with another man's baby and not Joseph, she was actually up for capital punishment to be killed. Stoned, actually, is the proper way to say it. Now, I will want to just tell you this, because a lot of you are going to quickly run to, there it is, this Old Testament law, it's mean, it's harsh, and all that stuff. This really didn't happen too often. Actually, we did a great job of not following a lot of what God said, but actually, we didn't do this one very often. And so Joseph could have actually brought her up on charges and had her killed, but here's what the Bible goes on to say. It says that Joseph decided to divorce her quietly. So instead of making a big deal about this, because what's he going to say? She cheated on me. Bring the guy forward. Well, she claims it's God. Yahweh. El Elohim. I'm just showing you, I know some of his nicknames. Okay, that's all that was about. So like, I know a few more, but I'm forgetting all of them right now. So like, you can't really bring the other guy up for charges because there is no other guy who's the Holy Spirit. And how did you get the news? Because you say you have a little stick with a little positive on it, but you haven't shown us the stick yet. My stick was an archangel. I think this is how Joseph was looking back at her this entire time. So what Joseph did was he decided to divorce her quietly, which tells us two amazing things about Joseph. He was a man of grace and a man of character. So kind of first side note that I want to throw out here. When you have a major issue going on in your life, how do you handle it? Do you make it a big public ordeal? Or do you try to handle things with grace and character? Because when you see it coming, how easy is it to handle it with grace and character, right? Because you already play that what-if scenario, you're ready for it. What happens if she comes walking up and goes, I'm pregnant, it's not another guy, and it blindsides you? How do you handle it in those situations? Because I know the other day, I'm really wrestling with if I'm raising my sons up right in one specific area, because right now it's almost hot outside and it's almost cold outside, so we put coats on the boys. Wise man once say, better to have too much and take off, then not enough on, and be cold. That wise man was my father-in-law, and I don't know why he stuttered his way through it. So he always says that. So boys put the coat on. And there's so much drama around putting on their coats right now. Just put the coats on. And the other day I said to Judah, I said his name. There it is. It was Judah. Yep. Unless it's Gideon, but it wasn't. I looked at him, and I go, I don't do drama. Does anyone know what I mean by that? Anyone have friends that they're always doing drama? And by the way, if you're right now going, yeah, it's them and it's them and it's them. No, it's you. Okay, you're the drama. Like, if you come up and just need to talk to me about your drama, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to smile. I'm going to minister. But when I leave, I'm going to suck for life because you almost sucked it out of me. Okay, I don't do drama. There's so many other things that we could be solving and helping in the world instead of your drama that's going to show back up again tomorrow, even if we fix today. We need to have an altar call for me right now. Okay, so I just said, I don't do drama. And like the next day, his younger brother Gideon was doing something, made a deal, and Judah looked at him and goes, Gideon, I don't do drama. So part of me went, yes, I'm doing it right. But then the other part of me goes, but we kind of do. You know, some is made up kind of false drama that you pump a lot of life into. Other times, life brings you a pregnant mom, not sure who the dad is, and you got to deal with it, right? And so in this time, Joseph says, listen, I have drama happening in my life right now, so I'm going to do it with character and with grace, and I'm not going to make it everybody else's business. Just because you can post it on Facebook doesn't mean you should post it on Facebook. And it's little and big things. Here's a little thing. Last night, we did a parade uptown Collinsville. I put my baby girl, I'm giving this example, I put my little baby girl in a manger scene, and I took a picture of her. And I wanted to post it on Facebook, is this sacrilegious or not? Because this is the cutest little baby I've seen in this scene. And my wife goes, absolutely not. Like, no need to just stir it up, right? And so when it comes along, how are we going to handle it? And do we on purpose create it ourselves? Or do we process it the way that it should be? So Joseph, he actually decided to do it privately. And then here's another thought for you. Jesus actually grew up in a mixed home. A blended family, I think, is a better way to say it. Because his dad, God, wasn't Joseph's other kids. You can actually see in Matthew chapter 15, 35 through 36, Jesus had four brothers and sisters. We don't know how many sisters. But we know this for a fact, Jesus had a different daddy than the rest of them did. And so they're in the two of them. There's one point in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, that the brothers come to Jesus, and here's what they say to him. Hey, dude, I love this whole ministry thing you got going on and ticking off the Pharisees. Yay, Jesus. Why don't you go to Judea and do this? Why don't you go somewhere else, you know, where people don't know us? Like, this is the type of family support that he would have had. And we know this for a fact, that you don't see Mary nor his brothers praying or worshiping Jesus till Acts chapter 1, which means Jesus died, was raised from the dead, then his family looked back and went, oh, there's something to this. I'm just wondering if the rest of the time at home, when Jesus is going, no, I really do have an opposite dad of you. I'm wondering how excited they were that Jesus is the one spreading this reputation in the area around. Because we know there had to be some level of repercussions for this, because when Joseph and Mary actually went to the temple to sacrifice, they sacrificed a dove, which is a poor person's sacrifice. You have Jesus living in your house. You don't think he could have slid you one set of lotto numbers? Talk to me, right? Like, Jesus, dad's really worked himself to death. Mom is tired. We've had way too many kids. Throw us a bone here and make it a chicken, right? Like, do something. And all of a sudden, you find that they're giving up. Why? Why were they poor? Is there a chance that the reputation had gotten out that Mary had another man's baby claiming it to be Jesus and no one wanted to do work with Joseph? Why didn't they have money? What do you think Joseph felt like when Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus and he stayed back at the temple, and Joseph had to make a three-day trek back to the temple at the age of 13? So we know Joseph has been in his life for at least 13 years now. He gets back to the temple, finally finds Jesus, and he goes, literally, son, what are you doing here? And Jesus looks at Joseph and goes, wouldn't you know I'm about my dad's work? Can I reword this to how Joseph could have heard it? You're not my real dad. Right? Isn't that really what he said? I'm not going back to your carpenter shop. I'm in the temple. The reason I'm in the temple is this guy's my dad. My job as a 13-year-old boy is to get mentored up, trained up, tutored up in the ways that my dad does. By the way, I'm just speculating. You know, I'm taking this little part and this little part, but if you come from a mixed family, a blended family, different moms, different dads, and you go, God doesn't know how I feel, I'm thinking he does times 10. Because the difference thing now, you can kind of disappear in crowds. He's living in a village of 200. Everybody know your business. And that's how they would have written it in the Greek. Everybody know your business. And when they wrote it, they would have thrown their hands up like this. Maybe bent their knees to the side. I don't know. I wasn't there. Just got to ease up. Okay. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Here's what we're going to do now. We've taken little bits and parts of the story. Can I say this? Kind of made up a narrative. But now let's just get in and see what the word has to say. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, remember, this is married, this is physically together, this is actually contractually together. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, see, she was betrothed, but they already called her husband, so this was a part of the process, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. How many are pursuing God and just ask for an angel to come up and give you the answer? Like, why did this have to stop then, right? How many have ever prayed for something? God, I'm seeking. God, I'm pursuing you. Give me an answer. And the only thing you see is a wide open field with a cricket. Like, really? No more golden scrolls. Thanks. Thanks for running out of that at the print shop. So after he'd done this, the angel came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So here it is. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let's pause right there on verse 21. As I was reading this, there was a couple verses that I just stopped on. So you have a man named Joseph who gets a lousy 8 verses despite raising the Son of God here on earth. I mean, no offense, I should have got more print out of that, right? And so the first thing the angel said is, you need to help Mary birth the thing inside of her, because the thing inside of her is meant to bring freedom to other people. So we have two people a part of this story that it's not about them at all. As I was reading this, I'm going, how often do I make it about me? So how much should I be looking to the world around me and asking this question, who is pregnant with the thing of God that I need to get next to him and go, you can do it? I know you're getting all stretch marked, right? I know your body is changing. I know your appetite is changing. I don't know why all the moms that have had babies are looking at me. You get stretch marks, right? You know, put some oil on it. I don't know. I'm in trouble. Just back away from this line of comments, though. Right? But it's true. You lose your bladder control and you get hungry for things that you're doing and you cry at random times. It happens. But in the moments of birthing something, is there someone next to you going, you are supposed to give birth to this. You are supposed to do this. Right now, my brother has started different businesses, walking away from a guaranteed paycheck, and he's doing something different. And here's what I find myself doing. Tell me about what's going on. Can I be your doula in this? You're meant to do this. You can do this. Go for it. My wife is doing some new things in the ministry. And the last thing I do is go, whew, when you fail, it's going to be big. Right? Didn't I just abort a dream when I do something like that? So I'll tell you now, it doesn't even have to be about something big. It doesn't have to be about a big dream, a miracle. This past week, I you may know this, but I was diagnosed with a blood clot a while back, but literally, I ran 100 yards the other day, and I almost passed out. And we're going, that doesn't seem right, you know? And I've had chest pain. So it was two Sundays ago after church, I got done preaching, and I spent 4 hours in the ER because we thought I was having a heart attack. We didn't know. Like, big chest pains, I'm miserable. My wife said we need to up the insurance if you're outing, so go get it fixed, and who I need to call, right? So, but here's what, this past week, I was diagnosed, I actually have a blood clot on my lung. So that explains the shortness of breath, explains why I'm sweating up here right now, just so you know, welcome to online service. So it explains all these different things, and I had two most amazing things. One was last night I had prayed, a good friend walked up to me, and he didn't come up and go, hey man, suck it up. He came up and put both his hands on my arms, and he goes, how are you doing? And here's what I heard in my ears. I know you're giving birth to things right now. I know the church is growing. I know we're looking to move. All these things he didn't have to say, but when he embraced me, I knew that he was sitting there going, still give birth. I had another good friend. He actually called me on the phone, and he just said this. He goes, how's your faith doing? He didn't make it about the task. He didn't make it about the job. He's going, everything that's important, how's this faith that's still inside of you? I know you're going through some things at 40 years old that no one can actually give you a reason why right now, but the last thing you need to do is give up on this baby that you're birthing. Are you Joseph to someone else? That something's inside of them and they're pregnant with them and you're going, breathe, breathe, let it grow. And then soon, in due time, God will bring about the birth of the baby. And then he said this in verse 22, it said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, ready for this? God with us. So Joseph, he's looking at this, and I find it interesting, because how many of you, if the angel showed up in your dream in the middle of the night and said, hey, by the way, this fulfills the prophetic word that was spoken by a prophet, how many of you would wake up and go, oh, I know that word? Or how many would have to get up, hit Google, and go, prophet, Old Testament, it was spoken by? I think Joseph was able to be put in this situation because of what he'd been putting inside of him before the situation. Think about this. Joseph was as prepared for this moment in time as Mary was. Which, by the way, how do you even prepare for this? Well, you put in character and you put in grace. It said that he was a man of the law. So now Joseph is torn in between. I'm a man of law, which I know this woman needs to be stoned because of what she did. But yet I'm a man of character and grace. Where's the tension between the two? Knowing what's right and doing what's right are two different things sometimes. So how did Joseph get to where he's at? I believe because when he wasn't in a crisis, he was still serving his Christ. Do you hear that? When it wasn't an emergency, he was training. He was reading. He was learning. So how do you become this? You do it when you don't have to. How do you become a millionaire? Well, you act like you are now. You start doing the things the millionaires are doing. How do you become a good parent? You evaluate when you look at your kid and go, we don't do drama. Is that the right way? Because here's what my job is. My job is to mold them. My job is to equip them. My job is to put God inside of them. If my job is a dad for you not to annoy me, I have a feeling I'll regret 16, 17, 18 years old. So when I'm not having to be a dad, am I talking to other dads? I think Joseph did that. When Joseph woke up He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He took Mary home as his wife, verse 25. And this is amazing. We're gonna spend some time here. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. By marrying Mary, Joseph chose to enter into a lifestyle of suffering. By marrying Mary, Joseph chose to enter into a lifestyle of suffering. Why do I say that? Number one, he's a man of character. He knew that there was a prophetic word that a virgin would give birth. So I'm not trying to just process with me. If they would have consummated the marriage, she's no longer a virgin. We have an issue with the prophetic word, right? So he's a man of character. So he can, but he didn't because he shouldn't, right? So here's the next interesting thing. I have a feeling they lived with the reputation that Mary had relations with another man. Joseph is saying it's God, and they're trying to cover up this thing. Would that be fair to say? I think we can all agree with that. But Deuteronomy chapter 22, and you go, Deuteronomy, what's that book? That's the one with all the laws that no one reads. So I'll tell you what it says, okay? So if a man who's betrothed or married to a woman says that he no longer likes her or believes she had an affair, he can bring her up in charges in front of all the elders of the neighborhood, of the village, right? And so mom and dad would do something very simple. And by the way, I've been trying to scan the room. I'm going to try to broad stroke this, and I need you to follow. They'd go put white sheets on the bed, and they would have the virgin go in with the man, and after the consummation, they could come out and prove that she actually was. Everyone follow me on that. I'm trying to keep this PG. Valentine's Day, we're going PG-13, but today PG. So ready for this. Mary's pregnant. They could have waited till she was showing. They could have then went into the bedroom chambers, come out with one piece of cloth to prove that she was actually a virgin. But Joseph, instead of protecting his own name, laid down his reputation to lift up the name of Jesus. How often in our life do we forfeit being a witness for Jesus Christ because we fight for our own name? How often in life could we be seen as something else, but we choose that I was wronged, that they did this to me, I don't deserve this, I'm not going to take this anymore, and we actually forfeit the ability to lift up the name of Jesus? Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to come and show you our evidence. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I pause saying it, but I'm going to say it. Usually the evidence is bloody evidence. Usually there's damage done. Usually there's a tearing that's occurring, and you're so interested in being right, you don't care about the relationship. You don't care about the friendship. You don't care about the longevity and the history that you have together. You'd rather there be a tearing and a breaking and so that you can be right, rather than going, you know what, let's let God reign in this situation. Does that resonate with anybody today? Because I'm telling you, I'm not just saying words and saying phrases to try to shock you. I'm here trying to point out to you that Joseph willingly lived a life of suffering so that Jesus could get the glory due his name. How hard is that for us to do? Because I don't know if you know about this. This is true, and I bet you can echo the same thing. There's no one cooler than me. In every argument, just about every argument, there's no one who's more right than me. Did you just say my wife? I heard that. I heard you say my wife, which is usually accurate, but it doesn't work for this analogy. So, isn't that right? There's no one more important to sit on the throne of my life than me. But the hardest thing for us to do is to actually lay down our life so that God can reign. But in a time where everybody knew all your business, in a time where the love of his life is now showing up a pregnant, and in the time where he knows the road forward in life is going to be incredibly difficult, he chose to not show the evidence that could clear his name. Why? So that the fame of Jesus could live on. So the prophetic, how many of us abort a prophetic word in our life because we're too busy defending our name now not to wait for that prophetic word to come about? I know I'm saying the same thing over and over right here, but for whatever, this is like a line in my notes, but I don't feel like maybe you've heard it yet. Maybe you need to hear it again. If you're pregnant with something, if you know that God is doing something here on the earth, we fight these temporary battles and you lose the long-term war because rather than Jesus being at the head, you decide to keep forcing your way up there. Then you wonder, in the battle and attacks of your life, you wonder why you come out battered and bruised. Well, you're taking hits you never should have taken in the first place. We need to lift that name of Jesus high. So here's where we are now. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You have Mary and Joseph who went, gave birth in Bethlehem. We'll cover that later in this series. Verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. There it is again. Thank you, angel. Just send me a text message. It's not that hard, God. Okay, so get up, he said, and goes, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the children and kill him. Verse 14, I love it. Ready for this? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night. When God calls us to do something, if you want to be like Joseph, do it without hesitation. Here's the picture I have. He's sleeping. He's cuddled. He's all cuddled into bed, right? Mary's next to him, the baby. The baby's not crying because it's Jesus. Jesus would like tap Mary. I need to use the restroom. Like, it was the most perfect baby, right? Like, oh, you're going to need to birth me? And I may have spit up on this one. Like, I have no idea how great Jesus would have been. Or like, I don't know, maybe at 2 months he changed his own diaper, right? Probably not. But Joseph, everyone's sleeping. No cows and animals are making noise. Why? Because this is baby Jesus and they even know not to make a noise. And so Joseph has a dream and he wakes up and he goes, man, we could get 4 more hours of sleep. No. Listen, God called me to go. And for the sake of my family, I respond to God without hesitation. I'm going to say that one more time. Ready for this? For the sake of your family, we respond without hesitation. So this morning, I'll use an example that just came to me. So this morning, on this thing, we said that we were going to give some gifts to some police officers. Some of you probably went like this. Oh, I can do that. And then within 10 minutes, you started running numbers, thinking about a budget, Christmas coming up, you're going to max your credit card, all that kind of stuff. And you went, you know what? I bet we have enough people here that those 60 plus people will get covered. I have a question. Did you say yes or did the Holy Spirit prompt you? If the Holy Spirit prompts you, you need to go without hesitation. It's how it works. You need to go without hesitation. I was in a grocery store a long time ago. I randomly bought this elderly lady's food for her. I mean, $20 worth of stuff. I got to love on her. You're beautiful. You're great. You know, thank you for being alive still. Just everything, right? And so next thing I know, I didn't say that. I promise I didn't say that. Yeah, okay. So to this day, our seniors ministry still reaches out to her every month and sends her cards, and sends her the newsletter. She's a part of our church and has never been here. You know why? Because it was a day at a grocery store, I acted without hesitation. Do you have a life that you know that has changed because you acted without hesitation? You saw them. You had a feeling that you needed to connect with them. You wanted to get their phone number so that you could call them. You came to this church and you're like, listen, I got to bring more people to this church. But you started hesitating over time for some reason. Can I tell you, there's families that can be saved because you act without hesitation. It's amazing how much we don't do because we think it'll damage our reputation with people who don't know us. Wow. Think about that. Like Dave Ramsey does this really famous thing where he goes, you buy a car that you can't afford so you can drive down the road so people who don't know you think you're successful. Yeah, here, rich man once told me, don't buy a toy if you have to pay it, if you can't pay cash. It's not a toy, it's a liability. I don't know why I went to finances, but there you are for today. For those given by offering, we'll bring that back up later. So take a card. I'm plugging everything right now. Navgroup.org. Okay, so we don't have that website. We may have to buy it now. So now, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. Here's what happens in verse 16, 17, and 18. This is all what's going back with Herod. I don't want to cover that today. We're going to be looking through the eyes of Mary tomorrow or next Sunday. It says this, after Herod had died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He's 3 for 3, get up, take your child, blah, blah, blah. Verse 21, he got up, took the child and went to the land of Israel. He responded again. So let me get this straight. We're in Bethlehem. We went to Egypt. We're now in Israel. Eventually get to Nazareth. And guess what? God will take you where he needs you in order to get you where he wants you. This seems like a really long path home. I know, but guess what? There's a word waiting that he'll be a man that comes from this city, from this town. And I know it's a long way around, but you're gonna have family time. You're gonna get to know your son. You're gonna get to know your wife. Let me say that he sent him on a long honeymoon, but it wasn't the one they had planned. But he took all those steps because he needed to get them where he wanted them. So I look at this, and he did it once again without hesitation. I personally would love to know a lot more about this man, Joseph. I would. Did he play with the kids? Did he talk with Jesus? How'd those kind? He was a carpenter. How many have ever done carpentry work? Okay. Do you think he was ever out working, hit his thumb and went, "Son of a Jesus, hey, you're God's son," right? Like, do you think Joseph ever corrected himself because he knew who was standing next to him? Come on, if I'm the only one that thinks that, you guys don't read enough and play imagination games. Do you think Joseph ever sitting around the table and everyone's acting up, do you ever think he said this phrase? James, which by the way, James, he wrote the book of James, is Jesus' brother. James, why don't you just be more like Jesus? Like, do you think he ever did the comparison thing? Because guess what? As a parent, that's really easy to do. When one's like, "I can put all the clothes away," you look at the other two and go, "Why can't you just put all the clothes away?" Because Mariah can. That's my baby girl, and you know it's not her, so I deleted that one on purpose. So, like, I would love to know all these things about Joseph and the type of character he was. And when Jesus went to the temple at the age of 13, he impressed everyone that was there. Who taught him all this? Was it Joseph? Did he somehow get his hands on the Torah and teach himself? Did he have an angel every day come down and be his tutor? Now, I know some of you right now are going, "No, you just got weird on me." We've already read about three of them, and that was just the man named Joseph, right? But the more I think about this man named Joseph and how I'd love to know more about him, I realize this: we don't want to know more about him. Because he's the faceless person that was faithful to bring Jesus to the earth. And the world is full of Josephs. We are the Josephs. People don't have to know our name. If I said Billy Graham, how many go, "I know that name"? Great. There's one James. There's one Paul. There's one Peter, right? Can we say that there's the superstars of our faith? The rest of Jesus coming to earth happened through us Josephs, who were nameless and we were faithless. And here's what we did. We played our part. What do you mean we played our part? When someone was pregnant with the thing of God, we made sure to coach them on. We became a spiritual doula that says, "You can do this. You can birth this. You can breathe this. You can have this child." When we weren't in drama and in crisis, guess what? We worked on our character. We read God. We put him inside of us. We continue to take it in and take it in. And when it came time to time for us to defend our rights or us to give God the glory, guess what? The nameless, faithless Joseph, always faithful Joseph, say this: "God, you get the glory. God, let your name be raised up on high." Why? Because we do this without hesitation, because we know this isn't about us. I've been given this gift. I've been given this pregnancy so that other people can be freed from their sins. I think I understand why we don't know all this about Joseph. It's because we're not supposed to know more about who he is, but about what he did. So today I'm going to stand up here and tell you this. I'm here to communicate the good news about Jesus Christ so that people can be freed from their sins. Been living in condemnation, been living in guilt, been living in doubt. You actually know Christmas because of a baby Jesus. Maybe you know baby Jesus because of Talladega Nights. Maybe you know baby Jesus because of all the manger scenes floating out there everywhere. I know Talladega Nights. I'm a hip pastor. So I was going to say my phrase earlier, but I can't remember what I said. So here's the thing. It's so much more than gifts. It's so much more than Christmas carols. But there is a heightened sense of the reality of Christ during the month of December. And we should embrace it. Do you realize the month of December, the nation actually pauses and to reflect the Christian belief? Do you realize that throughout stores, throughout our nation, they're playing Christmas hymns? You can call them carols all you want. But when you say the Virgin, born to the Virgin Mary, when you say that, you know, in a night like this in Bethlehem, it's a hymn at that point. There's worship going throughout this place. There's no better season There's no better time to be willing to lay your life down so that Christ can be revealed, so that someone could be freed from their sins. So if you're here this morning and you go, you know what? I think I'm ready to be freed from these sins. I think I'm ready to be free from my past. I think I'm ready to go ahead and turn my life over to the one named Jesus. I'm going to invite you to do that in just 1 second. But the first, I'm just going to ask everyone across the room, if you could, close your eyes, bow your head. And the reason we do this is just so those of you that would like to respond, those of you that as I've been preaching, you go, listen, this baby Jesus is so much more than I thought. This man named Jesus that we come to honor is because he took off his robe of glory and clothed himself with sin that was yours. Why? So that he could give you his robe of glory. If you're here today and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you just to do this. Can you just simply raise your hand? There's no eyes looking around the room. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see your hand over there, bud. Praise God. If you're here and you would like to respond, just simply raise your hand. We celebrate that with you today. Amen. Could everybody say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I want to be clothed with glory. I want my sin gone, and I want to be more like you. So today, forgive me of my sins. And I ask that you become Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me before I loved you. God, I just thank you that you have come. I thank you that you are not only present 2,000 years ago, but Holy Spirit, you're alive in our life today. And that those of us that different points throughout this sermon hit us, Lord, if we're ones that defend our own character, teach us, help us know how to lay those down. Those of us who aren't putting character inside of us by reading the word and praying to you, God, teach us how to do this. Those of us that are needing to serve other people as they birth something in their life, God, give us the ability to help them breathe, help them grow, help them give birth to the dreams in their life. So God, we honor the man named Joseph who has very few scriptures, no holidays, but this faithless and faithful person helped bring you to the earth. So we thank you for this man named Joseph, but God, we honor you for what you did through him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless. As Pastor Brent comes to the stage,